Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to probably the best way to experience life with Pete Donaldson without actually being around Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by me, Pete Donaldson, because I'm the only one here this week because Chris Broad is dead sad that he can't be on the podcast this week because of two reasons, basically. One, he's in Tokyo. He's very busy. He's not in his podcast studio. And I basically royally mugged him off by taking 2 weeks off, so he couldn't record the podcast for 2 weeks. I went to Korea and now I'm back, and it kind of left our schedule in bits. It left our schedule looking like a Venn diagram in which one circle is in one room and the other circle is outside having a cigarette. So we just could not find a time when we could do the podcast together. So next week, we'll be back, me and Chris, doing our thing like good old podcasty boys. We're going to be doing a special Korea versus Japan special. But for this week's show, it's basically this. Do you remember when sitcoms in the 90s, like Friends and Frasier and The Animaniacs, they used to do clip shows where they'd take the best bits from previous episodes and pretend one of the characters was reminiscing about the past, but really it was just a cheap way to make TV shows without having to pay the actors an extra fee, or a full fee anyway. They'd usually take place in like writer strikes and when, you know, there was contractual disputes going on and stuff like that. Anyway, due to the fact that we know a heck of a lot of you started listening to the Abroad in Japan podcast a couple of weeks ago when Chris mentioned the existence of the podcast on one of his disgracefully popular YouTube videos on his channel. So we thought that the main body of this week's show could be like a look back at some of the highlights in the first few episodes that you might have missed. And also I'll answer a couple of emails that have come into the Abroad in Japan podcast email box where the email is directed mainly at me and not Chris. And we'll also have a little message from Chris, live, not live, from Tokyo, where he is right now. So we're going to kick off with a clip from what I think is our fourth or fifth episode. We basically survived the Beast from the East, which was a rather aggressive chili front starting over in Siberia, I think, in Russia, I think. Which basically ground our entire nation to a halt. Nobody could do anything. The Abroad in Japan podcast had just made it to the front of the iTunes page, so we're very happy about that. And Chris decided to tell us all about some dirty, dirty baths.
Wow.
Well, I think a lot, most Japanese families have their kind of bath in the evening. Mm. So, and they have it one by one. So, like, you know, the kids will go in, then afterwards the adults go in, and they all use the same water.
Oh.
They all use the same water, and they have a little lid that they put on top of the bath while all the water's still in it.
Keep it warm.
So they kind of recycle and reuse the water, yeah. Which is either a good or bad thing, depending on your your views on hygiene.
And then,
but,
and then they pour out the water into their ramen to make the, to make their cup noodles for the evening. Wow, that is efficient.
How distasteful.
I mean, literally.
Yeah, I used to, in the winter months, I used to sit in my bath in my apartment. Mm. And because I couldn't afford, like, heating. And it was so damn cold. And I didn't really have a decent heating system because most apartments and houses don't have like central heating in Japan. They just use a kerosene heater or right. an air conditioning unit, which is what I'm using now, an aircon that switches into a heater.
All right.
So I used to use my bath as a way of staying warm and not dying of like hypothermia. So I just sit in my bath, scrunched up, like in a ball, because I couldn't actually have my legs going fully out because it was quite a short bath. But it was really weird, you know.
Yeah,
you're,
that is a little bit
submerged and, up to your neck in water, but you can't stretch out.
And then the family from next door would come in and use the water, and it'd be just wonderful.
When I look back at my time in my first... I've lived in, I think, 3 Japanese apartments now, and I look back at it all pretty favourably.
Mm.
Like, my first apartment, which I put in my first ever video, I liked it. It was quite cool. It wasn't that big. It was... You just have one room where you have your kitchen and your washing machine and stuff with the bathroom built on. And then the main room, which is the sitting room, is also your bedroom.
Right.
So every night, when I'd come home from work, I'd have to roll out my futon. Which obviously, you sleep on a futon in most apartments in Japan. Sleeping on the floor is actually quite pleasant. It might sound bad. Like, to people in the UK, you think, oh, the floor. But actually, I slept really well. For the 3 years I slept on, I don't know why, I don't know what the magic behind it was, given that the futon was only about 3 inches thick. It was surprisingly comfortable, and I slept very well on it.
When I've used, in like a ryokan or something, when I've used like a little futon, it was just like a rolled out, kind of thin duvet, yeah. Really. It's not really anything, there's no support there, and a tatami mat underneath. I've slept better than That's I've right. slept anywhere. It's incredible. Like, we in the West, I think, we're kind of, like, cajoled, mainly because, I guess, you know, in the podcast game specifically, we get advertised mattresses all the time. We're told that, you know, the squishiest mattress is the better, this and that. But when you actually get down to it, it's such a rich, lovely sleeping on the floor.
I don't know what it is. I think it's the idea of sleeping on the floor is quite comforting.
Mm.
I don't know. Matt, that's the only thing I can think of. sleeping on the... Because you can't fall out of bed. There's no risk of that ever happening.
You're such a drunkard,
Chris. You just sort of roll out onto the floor, yeah. Always reverts to falling out of things. But, like, there's something quite comforting about, yeah. You know, you can roll over and not fall out. But I slept well. The only downside to my apartment was my kitchen. Japanese kitchens are fantastically, tragically small. And I had to use my ironing board as kitchen space. For 3 years, my ironing board stood in the kitchen next to the sink, and I used to, like, prepare all my food on it. It was quite a surreal
wow.
experience, but I liked it.
Did you...
I felt like I was in a movie or something.
Did you have, like, a situation...
Whenever something bad happens, just make it feel like you're in a movie.
It feels like a movie. It, right? A sad movie. A happy movie. A movie when I get a disease. When a man gets a disease from using eating off an ironing board. Actually, to be honest, I've got, like, an apartment, you know, with 3 rooms, a kitchen, a front room, a bedroom, and a bathroom, obviously. I use my ironing board as a projector stand, so when I'm in bed, I can watch...
As a projector stand?
Yeah, just to watch a bit of Netflix. Lovely old job.
I think we've uncovered a whole new market for ironing boards.
It really is.
It should be rebranded as, like, some sort of unique item. Although, I guess we're just using them as tables. So it's not quite that special, is it?
I think the Japanese word for iron might actually be iron. Now... Trying
it is,
to order,
I think it's iron.
Yeah. Iron, yeah.
Iron.
So,
iron.
But I mean, you know, that's just, you know, how the R's and L's get pronounced out there. But, like, trying to order that over hotel through the hotel phone system, iron.
Iron diet. You say, like, iron diet.
Iron diet.
Iron diet. It means, like, yeah, it means, like, ironing board. Iron diet.
I just couldn't... But the one thing that is very exciting, if you're a Westerner, the iron that is probably most popular in Japanese hotels, they're all wireless. So you've got a little stand that plugs into the wall, you put it on the stand for a bit, and then you take it off, and it's completely wireless. Oh, you could iron something in the next room,
now,
Chris.
Now, you say that like it's a good thing, but I actually had a problem with that a few months ago. I made a video, actually, called, like, A Day in My Life in Tokyo, and I went to Tokyo to win some sort of award on stage. And before the award, I had to put on a nice shirt. And I pulled the shirt out of my bag. It was crumpled. It looked dreadful. And I was like, no problem. I'll iron it. And I called in the iron. Then it took me 2 hours to work out how to use it, by which point I was screwed because I had to go down to the award ceremony. So I had to wear a jumper in the end to hide the tragically terrible shirt. So... Damn the wireless irons of Japan. Damn them all to hell.
Emails. It's probably time to sort of wrap up and do some emails before we chip off. If you want to get in touch with the show, as always, it's abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. That's abroadinjapan...
Very original name.
abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. com. Obviously, this week we're talking about space, and you guys have kind of led the jury a little bit. You've led the courtroom. You've started talking about how small some of your apartments have been. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, we got a story. One of my favourite emails that you guys sent, and it was a girl called Emick in I think Hiroshima. She says, just a funny thing happened to me in my small one-room apartment. I went away for 3 days on a trip to Hiroshima, and when I returned, I had a strong odour hit my face as I walked in the door and quickly realised it was soy sauce.
What?
I thought maybe a soy sauce container spilled, but no. Soy sauce was seeping out of the walls from above the stove. I've included pictures, and she has, and they're horrible.
So just soy sauce coming out of the walls.
Was,
like a horror
There was
film.
So much. It was like an ocean of soy sauce. I called the apartment owner, but they never got back to me. But it never happened again.
Oh.
So what? That's ridiculous. And the pictures are horrible. It's, she just got a stove, and then just this, like, the wall is just covered in, like,
soy
sauce. Yeah, that's horrible.
Oh, so it's
that hasn't ever happened to me.
So. No, I mean, is Emick? I thought Emick was a shortening of Emmerich, the German male name. So if it's a girl, it's a girl. I know soy sauce has a smell. So Emick here, she's inferring here that she never licked the wall. Now, I'm calling bullshine on that.
Oh,
she
God.
Clearly licked the wall. She clearly licked the soy sauce off the wall to know it was soy sauce. All right? That's what I'm putting out there,
oh,
Mick.
God,
no judgment. I would do the same. But you did lick that wall. Admit it.
Wow. But this show's not just about familial unsanitary bond forming and bathing rituals. We also have amazing facts. Chris gave us like a billion amazing facts on one episode, and here are some of them now. Oh, and a bit of useful vocabulary as well for when you want to express surprise at something without just screaming sugoi or just the word shit.
Wow.
Bang!
Amazing fact number four. In Japan, it's so seamless. In Japan, it's acceptable, right, to take a nap even during work hours.
Ah, inemuri.
Yeah. Inemuri, it's called, yeah.
Inemuri.
And I used to do it. It felt really awkward and weird. Like, I'd teach like two classes in the morning, and I'd often be pretty tired at that point or maybe even hungover. Not that. I probably shouldn't have said that, by well. So I might have been hungover. So,
it's all right, you're out of the business now, Chris, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm not in the business anymore. Not in the teaching game.
No.
But they had like a little room around the back of the staff room. You
right.
go in there and there's a tatami mat floor and a little pillow. And you go in there and you can like lay down and have a sleep.
But
I always felt really bad about it.
Yeah, would you be sleeping with other people? Would they be next to you? Could you spoon them?
Yeah. Sometimes you get like... Yeah, you like wake up and turn over, and there'd be another teacher just like laying there snoring a few meters away in this little tatami mat room. It's so surreal, and yeah, it's quite a nice idea. I'm actually
it is.
Like Japan's work policies are like not good in terms of overtime, but that is it's actually one of the good things they have. Although we in our staff room we had like 100 teachers. I worked in this. It must have been the biggest. I think it was the biggest senior high school in North Japan that I worked at.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of teachers, and there was you often get teachers who sit at their desk and just fall asleep and nod off. So you'd look up and you'd hear like from across the other side of the room, some muppet falling asleep, snoring. And none of the other teachers, because everyone's so polite, none of the other teachers would go over and wake him up. So this guy would just be there snoring for hours on end.
Oh, no, it was
and I didn't want to be the one who goes over and be like, "Oi, what are you doing, mate?" And like prod him with a stick or something. What with being the outsider.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a... That was a daily conundrum I faced by the snoring teacher.
That is a little strange. that is quite strange. I mean, what I would venture is that if you go to any nightclub or any bar, people have a little 5-minute snooze, little siesta... And then they're up and about again, and they continue their evening, which I think should be introduced in every nightclub around the world. I've tried doing that myself in England, and Yeah, the bouncers don't like that kind of jazz, to be honest. They're very much no-nonsense when it comes to throwing me out when I fall asleep in a nightclub. But you see it all the time in Japanese bars and Japanese nightclubs. But work-wise...
Yeah, they let it go.
Work-wise, I think a little siesta in the middle of the day, especially if you've had a heavy night the night before, is a really good idea. Like, I'm so much more productive. Because I'm freelance, I sort of, you know, start work at various hours. I work very late, but sometimes there'll be an early start. Like, this morning I had to go and watch a bloody film, which sounds like a nice thing, but not at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and when the film's not very good, it's ten times worse. Yeah. Who watches a film at 9 in the morning? And and I always have a little quarter of an hour siesta in the afternoon. It's it doesn't take that much to get back on top, really. A little quarter of an hour, a little 20 minute.
Absolutely
beautiful.
I love a good nap, especially after lunch. Yeah,
huge.
Especially after lunch.
Huge.
Which takes us on to fact number five, which is in Japan. You, I think you know this because you've been here loads, right? Which is you eat until you're 80% full.
Incorrect,
you don't
Chris.
Stuff yourself.
I eat all the food.
It's
feel terrible.
You do. And it's like common courtesy, right, to leave a bit of food on the plate. Because food typically comes on little plates,
yeah.
It kind of makes that easier to do. But it means that people think this is one of the reasons Japanese have, like, live long lives, because they don't overeat. Whereas we get a big plate, right? In the UK, covered in stuff, covered in like five varieties of food, all jumbled together that we eat, and then we want more. Because of little plates, they eat a lot less, so they don't ever die. I think if you know you're Japanese, you'll know this fact. This is a fact for people that don't know they're Japanese. But yeah, months don't have any names in Japan.
Wow.
It's a much more practical system. It's just month number one, month number two, month number three. Ichigatsu, nigatsu, sangatsu.
So gatsu presumably means month.
Yeah, gatsu's month, and then we just add a number in front, and off you go. Nigatsu, sangatsu. Once you know your numbers, you can do a lot of things in Japanese, actually.
Yeah,
numbers are the key. They use numbers a lot more practically.
Yeah.
For example, shigatsu is spring. And in spring, there's a festival, right, called the penis festival.
What?
That's fact number eight.
Holy moly!
Another great way in there, right? why did I think this was a good idea to connect things?
I'm enjoying it. I'm a DJ by trade. I'm enjoying these links, to be honest.
It's very clever. but you know this. So I think this is another one a lot of people know about. But I thought I'd bring it up just because people don't, and it still has that kind of shock factor. And that is there is a fertility festival. In April, in the city of Kawasaki, and they basically parade a massive. have you seen it? A massive phallus through the streets of like Kawasaki.
Bits of it. There was a guy who worked for Radio 1 who went out there to celebrate it with them. But it's not sexy as you think it might be. It's actually quite quite workmanlike.
It's a little bit creepy. Yeah, I mean, it started in 1969, and it's kind the festival. It's they've got loads of like toys and sweets and vegetables, and I say vegetables like carved vegetables. Look at the photos of this stuff; it's amazing. but the worst image is like they have a penis in the shape of a. When I say phallus, not penis, that's gonna have to tick the explicit box on iTunes.
Oh no!
They have a phallus, which is a lollipop. A lollipop phallus.
Lick that lollipop.
Just talking
about
it makes me feel uncomfortable, to be honest. But if you type in like this festival into Google, and you'll see some pretty unsavoury pictures of like kids with these lollipops, and it'll make you feel super uncomfortable.
That is disastrous.
But I've been people have asked me to go for years. They're like, "Oh, Chris, go to the penis festival." It's like, how about no? I don't want imagery of children holding dodgy lollipops on my videos.
There's a penis museum in Iceland, and it's just penises of the world and the animal kingdom and stuff like that. So you know, you've got from the great sperm whale, excuse my turn of phrase there, to the smallest little field mouse. There's penises. There's basically all penises and formaldehyde and stuff like that. There's even donated penises from men who've sadly passed away.
Come off it.
Who basically say, but the inscriptions next.
And you've definitely
quite
been to this museum, right?
I've been to them. I bought a lollipop.
Of course, you fucking.
I bought a penis lollipop.
Oh.
I actually, you know those little room cleaners, those little There's little hoovers that are like robots. There's little circular things.
Yeah.
And they go around. I set one off in the penis museum. I saw one under a table, and I booted the start button, and it just started going around the penis museum. I was like, oh, I need to leave now. I've done something terrible.
That's a great thing to have on your bucket list. Trigger a robotic hoover in a penis museum in Iceland. What a great thing on your to-do list.
Not bad, is
it? I'd love to go to Iceland. It's on my hit list, and that is definitely not going to be on my list of things I do when I go, I can assure you. Especially the bit about the hoover.
I did accidentally eat, it was like a kind of like Icelandic kind of, I know this is abroad in Japan, but we're popping into Iceland briefly, Reykjavik.
Well, we've covered the geopolitical situation of France, we're not going to dive into Iceland.
Right? I think, I had like one of those starters where you eat like, I didn't realise, but it had like whale, it had shark in there, had all of like the bad things you should never eat, puffins.
Right.
And I was chowing down to a bit of fetid shark, because there's a shark that they bury for like 30 days, and it becomes rotten, and they carve off the fat, and it smells bin. It smells like a bin. It's disgusting. It tastes even worse. It's very bouncy and chewy. Ugh.
Well, we've learned some surprising facts. So I thought for this week's vocabulary speedy Japanese lesson, we're diving into some words for surprised and amazed.
Cool.
I've only got three this week. I'll keep it short and simple. Mm. You probably know the first one. The first one is amazing. What do you think amazing is in Japanese?
This gets used all the time.
Word everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Sugoi. Sugoi.
Sugoi ne. Yeah. Sugoi. I think we talked about it in the last video, didn't we? How superficial it can be when people are like, it's amazing, just by everything that happens. But learn sugoi and you can instantly understand like 10% of Japanese television.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic word. What about the slightly less kind of amazing word for, what about great?
Oh, great.
You kind of go, oh, wow, that's great. With less impact than sugoi. Subarashi.
Subarashi. That's a nice word.
That's
like
one of the
lot.
First few words you learn. It's one of the first kind of things. Yeah, subarashi. Subarashi. It's like, oh, that's great. Wow, it's great. Splendid.
I'm going to I'm going to remember that by remembering the car brand Subaru. Subarashi.
Yes. I think that's how I did it as well. And the last one, you've obviously been surprised as well as amazed by these incredible facts.
Yeah, I know. Right?
What is the verb for surprised? To be surprised?
Not a clue. I'm not even going to venture this one.
It's bikuri. Bikuri. So you kind of go, oh, bikuri shimashita. Bikuri shimashita. I was amazed. Bikuri. It's kind of like to be shocked and amazed. It's kind of like kind of amazement, you know. Bikuri shimashita. I was surprised. I was shocked kind of thing.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Amazing fact, I'm sure you will agree. Hey, look at this. Here's Chris Broad, host of this channel and this podcast, with a little message he recorded for the show, for this week's show. I don't actually know what he said because I'm recording this before he's actually sent it, but I'm sure it's very pertinent and descriptive and uses metaphor and analogy and other devices. Here he is.
You know, you'd think when you sit down and talk to someone every single Wednesday for 2 hours on a podcast, you would coordinate your schedule with them. And yet, because Pete and I are both absolute muppets, we awkwardly timed our trips this week, making it difficult to record together. I'm currently running around Tokyo, and Pete's been everywhere from Korea to Japan to the UK. So apologies for not being here properly this week, guys, but given that both Pete and I have been to Korea recently for the first time ever, next week we'll be sitting down to discuss our thoughts on how Korea compares to Japan. I mean, I treated my trip to Korea as some kind of Darwinian scientific expedition, and my iPhone notes are littered with intricate observations about the culture that I will share with you all next week. And in the meantime, I recently featured in a new video on the YouTube channel called Tokyo Creative Play, where I debated various aspects of life in Japan with my good Australian friend Emma. In fact, the video is the reason I'm in Tokyo, amongst other things. But stick Tokyo Creative into YouTube and the video should come up. It's called Which is Better, Japanese Wagyu Beef or Sushi? We also discuss where's the best place to live in Japan and our favourite places to travel. So be sure to check it out. But for now though, guys, I'm looking forward to sitting down with you all next week and having a good old chat. But for now, let's dive back into some Abroad in Japan podcast highlights.
Thank you, Chris Broad. Literally the reason we're here. And as he probably said during that message, we will be back next week, same time, same place, doing a Korea versus Japan special. Not in a political way, let's make that very clear. There's been quite enough of that over the last few hundred years. We'll mainly be talking about ice cream because we're the Abroad in Japan podcast. That's what we do. Here's some more best of fun, guys.
The last time I used a Love Hotel must have been, I don't know, I can't remember what it was, but it was a horrible memory, and it put me off Love Hotels altogether.
What?
It was in Shibuya, actually. It was in Shibuya, the Love Hotel district, the massive one we discussed earlier. If you are in Tokyo, the top two Love Hotel districts are in Shibuya and Shinjuku. Shinjuku, if you're a listener, or Pete, if you want to do it, Pete. Relax in a Love Hotel. I went to Shibuya and we checked in, and I had a shower in the evening, had a nice pre-going-to-sleep shower, and I saw a cockroach in the hot tub. There was a hot tub in this room. It's quite a big room, but it felt quite old and dusty and smoky. It wasn't very pleasant. And I saw a cockroach in the bath, and I was like, oh, shit. That's never a good thing. I hate cockroaches. They scare the hell out of me. But I didn't tell the person I was with, I didn't tell them about the cockroach. I was like, they won't be able to sleep if they know it's in the bathroom. So I won't tell them.
What a hero.
Cockroach. Anyway, a hero, definitely. the cockroach kind of scuttled away down the drain. So I was like, well, it's probably the last we've seen that little rascal anyway. And then we went to sleep, and the next morning woke up about 7, 8am. And I had another shower, because I always start my day with a shower. I love showers. Showers are brilliant. Lots of showers. And I went in the shower, and I heard an ear-piercing scream from the person I was with. And I like went out the shower, and they were standing out of the bed, and they pointed, and the cockroach was on the pillow that had been where my head had been. And I was like, are you kidding? I've literally slept with a cockroach by my face. And I was absolutely disgusted by this. So that put me off Love Hotels. But don't let that stand in the way of you going to a Love Hotel.
No.
Don't let that stop you. It was only that time.
It's a feature, if anything. Maybe if your credit card doesn't work, maybe the cockroach has a credit card you could use instead. I once worked at a zoo for a year, Chris, and we had hissing cockroaches.
You worked at a zoo?
I worked in a zoo for an entire year at wow. university. I was there to make a CD-ROM, something you probably don't even remember existing. But it
if
was.
There was a list of top five things I wouldn't expect someone to do at a zoo, I'd be like number one or two. What the de- what? Making a CD-ROM at a zoo?
Yeah, I was supposed to be doing that, and instead I just spent all of my time just hanging out with the gibbons, and I, you know, started my my lifelong love affair with gibbons. Oh, man, I love gibbons. But we used to have, in the education centre, we used to have hissing cockroaches that if you touched them, they would go... which is spooky.
I don't know what I'm laughing at more, the idea of you making a CD-ROM, the idea of you with the gibbons, or... the fact you just pronounce cockroach is concroach.
Concroach. Concroaches encroaching on your pillow.
Pete in the zoo.
Incredible.
So we've talked festivals, we've talked Japanese love hotels, we've talked bathing rituals. There's been a lot in this best of, to be quite frank. What I'm going to do now is to wrap it all up, is to basically read the email section, the email box, abrongemanpodcast@gmail.com, for a couple of emails in which the fulcrum of the answer rests on my shoulders, if indeed a fulcrum can rest on anything or a shoulder. It starts this email from, I've muffed it up already. I've got the name, but thank you for this person. You know who you are. Hi, Chris and Pete. This is a question for Pete, really. As you're a big wrestling fan, I was just wondering if you liked New Japan Pro Wrestling. Have you been to watch it live in Japan? How easy is it to get tickets? We've been told you buy tickets from the supermarket. Is this true? As we are planning to visit next September and want to go. Thanks, guys. I wouldn't say I was a big wrestling fan, but... for another podcast, I may as well give it a plug. WrestleMe, basically me and a friend are going through and watching all of the old WrestleManias. I don't know anything about wrestling. He knows everything about wrestling. And it's basically me just lifting up a wrestling rock and going, what the hell is going on here? It's weird. It's strange, but I kind of like it. So I did go and see a New Japan show in Kuroken Hall. Obviously, an arena in, I think it's North Tokyo. A very, very respected part, respected hall where a lot of boxing, professional wrestling, kickboxing, MMA matches have taken place. It opened back in the 60s. The capacity is around about 2,000 people, I think. And it was amazing. It was a really, really fun show. There was a wrestler on. I couldn't tell you which wrestlers were there, apart from Taka, who I think used to wrestle in the WWE. He had a really offensive walk-on montage. Basically, him with a load of like rock music. And it was like, Taka is coming, motherfucker! Unnecessarily sweary for a Japanese audience who, I guess, the word MF probably doesn't connect quite so harshly. And there was also a wrestler who came on whose gimmick was an acoustic guitar, like the Honky Tonk Man back in the day. But he would also give a braid of his hair away every now and again. So this bloke who was with his little baby daughter was trying to get this wrestler to take a braid out of his hair to give to his daughter. The daughter wasn't bothered, let's make that very clear. But the man was really into this wrestler. And so this guy's walk-on, the walk-on music had to, be repeated like three or four times because this guy could not get the braid out of his hair. Because it was just a pain in the bum. It's a really weird gimmick, giving away bits of your hair, I think. Anyway, but buying tickets. To be honest, we went down to Kuroken Hall during the late afternoon. Tickets were available. I think like the special ringside seats were about 8,000 yen, and we just had standing ones, which were perfectly fine. Give you a great vantage point. You could see the whole crowd. It was great, and that was about 2,500 yen, so not too shoddy. And we just bought them on the day. Maybe with the more popular shows, you need to pre-book. I think the Kuroken Hall or the New Japan website is pretty good for English speakers, and also you do buy a lot of tickets at the supermarket. I'm sure Chris will be able to fill us in next week about that, but they do have those little machines, and you can buy like the Ghibli Museum and stuff like that. You can buy tickets for that, but the problem is a lot of the machines are all in Japanese and it's quite hard to figure out, but I'm sure they'll be getting better. I'm sure they will be getting better. Hello to Mike. I'm from the UK. I live in Hong Kong. I've visited Japan 5 times since I watched Chris's channel for the first time 5 years ago, so averaging a trip a year, it seems. I'm going to Japan next week for Fuji Rock Festival. I've been to festivals in the UK before, such as Reading Festival and Glastonbury. I was wondering what you guys think about music festivals in Japan and if you've ever been before. Well, I haven't been, but speaking to bands, really, people like Noel Gallagher and Franz Ferdinand and stuff like that, the Blossoms, and you call them The Blossoms, they're just Blossoms, Stockpot's finest. They always get a kick out of playing there. Pretty much everyone who's ever who I've ever sort of interviewed, because I'm a bit of a Japanophile, I always sort of go, oh, what's Japan like? What's it like playing, you know, in Tokyo and stuff like that? How cool is that? And they all say it's blummin' brilliant, but the crowds are really strangely like respectful during the song, and then at the end of the song they all sort of politely applaud. But people who have been to Fuji Rocks, the weather, it's gonna rain because it's Japan and it's very mountainous. It's a beautiful place to watch music, but it will rain because it just rains a lot in that part of the world. But again, it's kind of warm, kind of rainy. You dry off quite quickly as well. Just make sure you pitch your tent properly, I suppose. There are like female only areas and stuff where for women who are camping solo or camping together to just camp in a place they can do themselves. And there's onsens, and it's just a beautiful place to watch music, apparently. So that's what I've been hearing. A lot of people emailing in about Chris's American accent, saying that mine needs a little bit of work. I'm very, very upset. But conversely, I'm less upset about the fact that pretty much every email or every other email is from either a professional cyclist or a person who knows their cycling, and are basically just recommended padded pants for Chris's upcoming cycle ride, which really makes me giggle. Chris at the moment is just a man inundated with basically recommendations about padded pants, which I'm enjoying immensely. Finally for now, John Fleet. Hello, John Fleet. Hi, Chris and Pete. Big fan of the podcast and the show. I'm presuming he means the Broad in Japan video challenge is very good indeed. My girlfriend and I are travelling to Tokyo for 2 weeks at the end of October / start of November, and we were watching, or rather wondering, because that's a different word, wondering what advice you have on getting the best of the Halloween celebrations. We've heard that mass costume crowds assemble in different parts of the city and on different days. Where do you think we should go and when? We'll be staying near Shinjuku, so I can travel quite easily. Now, I've done two, maybe three Halloweens in Japan. It's bloody brilliant. I recommend the Tokyo Decadence Party, which is half a bit sexy and half a bit weird and 100% Halloweeny. It's great. It's usually Deka Bar Z, I think, is the company that run it. And it's just an incredible party. And everyone's dressed amazingly. And the cosplay is just, you know, Japan. They're just good at cosplay. And also, just in the streets, drinking booze from the konbini. Shibuya. Just walk around Shibuya. All the way from Yogi Park. Park? Yogi Park. Check out the Yogi Park. Yogi Park. Everything down from there to Shibuya is just people, people, people. And that goes for Halloween itself. The day before, if it's a weekend, or the day after, if it's a weekend, and also a couple of days during the week as well. You cannot avoid Halloween in the Shibuya district, it seems. And I'm sure Chris, who has a slightly different opinion about Shibuya and the surrounding environs, he doesn't necessarily like it as much as I do. But I'm a boozer. What are you going to do? There are a few people complaining about the fact that I talk about drinking too much on the show. I'm not complaining, just basically worrying about my health. I work Monday through Thursday, and then I work Sundays, and I can't drink on any of those days, so I don't drink at home. Everything's fine with the liver, I think, I hope. And so I'm fine, yeah? All right? It's just like a party. So that's why I go on holiday. I go on holiday at a party. For me, it's just a good time, Japan. For Chris, that's what he calls life, all right? Thank you for listening this week. It's been a bit of a weird podcast, obviously, but I hope you enjoyed the best of bits. I certainly enjoyed listening to them again, because it seems like a lifetime ago we were sort of in the same room doing stuff. Chris will be back next week. I will be back next week, and we're going to be doing a big, fat, lovely Korea versus Japan special, and it's going to be magnificent, and also some other stuff as well. So we'll see you then. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends, give us an iTunes review. Apparently that's important, I didn't know. And drop us an email at broadenjapanpodcast@gmail.com. we'll be back next week. I can't remember how Chris ends the podcast. He's got this spiel down pat, but I can't remember what it is because I don't pay attention. Sayonara, bye. Jamatane.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.